Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast available by funding the Access Media Project. Other great podcasts from Fresh FM are available through the accessmedia.nz app or our website freshfm.net.
Kia ora koutou katoa and welcome to Cawthron Radio. I'm Natalie Bird, a member of the communications team at Cawthron, and I'm here today with Dr. Sean Ogilvie, an ecologist who has been a consultant for Cawthron since 2009. Last night, I was really privileged to attend a celebratory function at Whakatū Incorporation's Nelson headquarters for a book that Sean features in. It's called Ngā Kite Mātauranga, Māori Scholars at the Research Interface, and it shares the stories of 24 Māori academics revealing what being Māori has meant for them in their work. So kia ora, Sean. Thank you for joining us today.
Kia ora, Natalie.
You're going to read an excerpt from the book for us now. You shared this story last night, and it seemed to have a really interesting impact on the people in the room. There were a few nods of agreement. So this is a story from a conference that you attended. How long ago?
Back in 2003, it was.
Yeah, and it kind of demonstrates the difference between mātauranga, an understanding of a scientific issue, and the kind of ways that potentially te ao Māori and traditional Western science meet and necessarily kind of match.
An illustration of, I guess, the differences between conventional science, if I call it that, and mātauranga, but also that the two can kind of work together quite complementary as well, in a complementary way.
Okay, so take it away.
So in 2003, Christchurch hosted the largest wildlife congress in the Southern Hemisphere. More than 900 scientists, wildlife managers, and indigenous representatives from every inhabited continent gathered to discuss wildlife conservation and management. It was at this gathering that I recall perhaps the most striking example of just how different but complementary the underpinnings of mātauranga Māori and Western science can be. James Waiwaia, a mātauranga expert from Waituhoe, and Dr. John McLennan, a science expert, gave a shared presentation on a management and conservation program for the iconic New Zealand bird, the kiwi, in Te Uruwera. When they finished their presentation, a scientist from California raised his hand and asked them, "So, why are kiwi important to you?" It was a simple enough question, but with an answer steeped in mātauranga Māori spanning generations to the dawn of Māori creation. After some deliberation, James Waiwai answered by telling the story of how Tāne Mahuta, god of the forest, shaped Heneahuone, the first human form, from one, or red ochre, breathing life into her. James described to the international audience how Tāne Mahuta, seeing Heneahuone, responded with what were the first ever sexual urges, although he did not know how to properly implement those urges. As such, their first union was clumsy and unconventional, but nonetheless resulted in their first child, the kiwi. The kiwi and many other species arose from the armpit of Heneahuone. James explained how the kiwi are therefore our older siblings, and that losing them would be akin to losing family, and we humans, as taina or younger siblings, have an inherent responsibility to do all we can to ensure the future survival of kiwi. It was an answer that lay in stark contrast to the predominantly scientific proceedings of the conference leading up to that point. His response described a level of interconnectedness between people and the environment that I had not seen mirrored in any field of science, and it explained perfectly his motivations for management and conservation of the kiwi. The kiwi are family, and were once the protectors of his people patrolling the forests at night. Now it was time for people to protect them. His words conveyed a sentiment that I share and I've tried to carry into my professional life as an environmental and ecological scientist. I tend to hold a deep sense of responsibility within my research, centered around the notion that humans and nature are linked. To understand and respect how ecological systems operate is to understand and respect ourselves.
That's great. Thanks, Sean. That was an excerpt from Ngā Kite Mātauranga, Māori Scholars at the Research Interface, a book that has recently been published this year, and it shares the story of 24 Māori academics. So your chapter, Sean, how were you approached and when were you approached to write it?
So I was maybe 18 months ago now, if not longer, I was approached by the editors of the book, Jacinta Ruru and Linda Nikora. And the idea around the book was to get 24 scholars together from different areas of our research. There's legal scholars, there's scholars from psychology, from environmental science like myself. There's a physicist in there. There's a whole range of different facets of expertise, but all being Māori scholars, so they kind of bridge that space between Mātauranga and other areas of expertise. And we're all approached. It was really about our personal experiences of working within each of our spaces, but yeah, spanning that bridge with Mātauranga. And they set up each of the chapters. They posed 10 quite simple questions. They were quite personal questions that we structured the chapters around. So it was quite a good way to set up writing something that I think is quite personable and quite relatable for people to read. And for me, it was a pretty cool experience to go through that process.
And do you mind sharing a little bit about your experience as a Māori researcher and, I guess, first your experience of studying in New Zealand's tertiary system?
Yeah, sure.
And then
yeah.
Early career and now?
Yeah, so the chapter that I just read part of, the chapter is called Curiosity and Connection. And so those were the two elements, I think, that underpinned my journey into working in environmental science. And so the curiosity part really was kind of innate for me as a young child. I just loved anything to do with the natural world and how things worked and, you know, just exploring nature wherever possible. And there's another part in the chapter as an example of that about an octopus in a glass bottle. And I remember I was fairly young, but my dad had discovered this octopus and it barely fitted inside the bottle, and it was such a tight fit that you could see its you could see its suckers kind of pushing up against the glass on the inside. And my dad took the bottle out of the water and put it up on the sand, and because it was warm, it meant that it had warmed up. The octopus kind of made its way out of the bottle, and I remember watching that in great detail, and I was just totally fascinated by the nature of the whole thing. And then my dad put the bottle back in the water, and the octopus made its way to it and got back in the bottle. And the process of doing that was absolutely fascinating. It just, to me, struck as a neat little story underpinning that inherent curiosity. So I think the thing that for me was always in the background in terms of wanting to work in science, and especially biological science and natural sciences, was that curiosity and that interest in nature and being fascinated by it. So that kind of led me through high school to study biological science. This was always interesting to me. And then I went to university and did a bachelor's degree in science. And so getting into that science space was something that kind of happened naturally for me from out of that curiosity. And then working within Māori communities was kind of natural for me too, I guess. I wasn't brought up with te reo Māori directly, but my mum is Māori and we come from the Bay of Plenty. We're from Ngāti Whakahemo, which is Te Arawa, and Ngāti Pūkeko, which is Ngāti Awa in the Whakatāne. And grew up in a manner that, to me, well, you know, within a Māori home, that's the way it felt to me anyway, and I was kind of intrinsically part of who I am. And so as I kind of got more down the natural sciences space, the connection with doing science that satisfies the aspirations of Māori communities just kind of happened naturally.
And I guess some of the themes that come through in the book are the challenges of being Māori within the tertiary system or within New Zealand's science research and innovation system. What's your perspective on that? Has the challenge been a defining feature of your journey, or is it something that's been there but something that you've been able to work around? What's your experience?
I think that we've got work to do as a country to allow Mātauranga and that long intergenerational history of knowledge that we have, which is a real gift for New Zealand as a country. We've got work to do to ensure that Mātauranga has a standing of equal, really, with science. And so that it's kind of seen as a competition thing, either it's science or it's Mātauranga and not one or the other. But to me, actually, we need to learn that each has something to contribute to how we relate to the natural world around us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we do have work to do to really give Mātauranga its proper rightful place in the New Zealand research system.
To kind of delve into that a little more, there'll be some people listening that don't really understand what Mātauranga is and how it's distinct from perhaps Western scientific knowledge. Can you explain a little?
So mātauranga is Māori ways of knowing about the world that have really developed over a lot of generations. And the beauty of mātauranga is that it's really quite specific to New Zealand, right? You've got this long period of time and connection with the natural systems and lots of generations. And so it's a body of knowledge that's built up over that time. And there's a whole lot of learnings encapsulated in it that really are to do with who we are as a country and the environments we live in.
I've heard other Māori researchers talk about how mātauranga and Western science aren't necessarily the same thing. They don't necessarily have the same goals, and that perhaps there's a misunderstanding sometimes that the aim is to find the mātauranga, the knowledge, and then do the science to prove it is scientifically valid according to that approach. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I think that each has to have its own. I mean, to be honest, I see science as being a tool, right? Science is a tool for doing certain things, so maybe explaining phenomena, for working out the mechanisms behind things and how they work. And so it inherently involves kind of, very often, it's quite reductionist, so you're dividing things up into smaller parts and working out how each of those parts work. And that's a useful tool. That's something that's really handy for humanity. But and so it kind of, to me, it stands alongside or could be used as a tool to support mātauranga, which to me is more higher level. It's about getting a more total picture of how systems work and how things operate. So I don't have an inclination myself to need to have to use science to justify something that might be said from a mātauranga perspective. I think each has its own kind of space and its values that it brings. But to me, that approach is one that puts one up against the other, which to me just doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. So if we have Western science that can teach us things about the world and how it works and help us make progress as a society, what does mātauranga contribute for New Zealand in terms of social progress, environmental progress, economic progress?
I guess we can look at some specific examples. I think one example might be it teaches us how to actually live in harmony with the environments around us. And so it's kind of moving away from the types of systems where it's all kind of take, and you know, it's the environment's there for us to use as we please, moving away from that and moving to more thinking around, well, actually we are part of environmental systems, and if we see ourselves in that manner, then we're going to obviously have a much better future, because it's a future in harmony. So to me, it's about being properly connected, and actually we need to do a lot of work to reconnect with natural systems, which really to me is what mātauranga is about. So I'm talking about this from a natural environment point of view, which is the area that I work in. And so to me, that's what it's got to offer, really, is about that reconnection, which from my point of view, we should never have disconnected anyway.
I had a really interesting conversation with Dr. Jane Kitson, who's coming on board as a judge for the New Zealand River Awards this year.
Oh, yeah.
And she suggested that we incorporate criteria not just around progress made by community groups, but also in restoring freshwater health, but also how the project connected the community to the awa in a way that might have been lacking. And she said for Māori especially, who've often moved away from the places that they whakapapa back to, it's actually just having that connection with the maunga and the awa and the land that is really, really important before we can make progress on actually addressing the environmental issues, because that's the step that's often missing. Is that an experience or a kind of idea that you've
thought
about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm referring to, really. It's about that connection and that knowledge of place. I mean, food is a really good example, right? If you're talking about mahangakai and freshwater systems and knowing the cycles of the different food species that you like to eat, and knowing that their connections with other species within those systems and how all those things interrelate and how our behaviours can impact on all those systems. Yeah, you need to have all that kind of in place, and you need to know about all of how those things operate and are intact to source good, healthy food. You know, that's just a really basic example of how important that connection and knowledge is.
So what's your hope for the future? What are the things that you think need to change to make sure that mātauranga is kind of elevated and is given the standing that it deserves within New Zealand society and culture?
Oh, I just think that it's a matter of having discussions just like this. I think that we need to be open to learning actually what mātauranga means, and it's an evolving dynamic thing as well. And I think we need to be open to working through what it means to us as a country, and how we get ourselves into being better connected with our environments and having those conversations and getting away from this idea of, oh, it's either got to be science or Mātauranga, and they're two competing things, getting away from all that thinking. And I think also having the courage to recognise people that mightn't kind of be the types that, you know, stand in front of an audience or are seen on TV wearing a white lab coat, and they're the experts, they know what the right thing to do is. Acknowledging that, yes, they have some expertise and we're required, we need it, but we could actually think about also looking towards Mātauranga experts, which at this point in time, the general population of New Zealand wouldn't even cross their minds to look to Mātauranga experts about how we manage a particular issue, and have the courage to actually think about doing that, and think about how that's actually something that's uniquely us, and we all own it. You know, as New Zealanders, we should all be protecting those holders of that long-standing intergenerational knowledge, and looking to the future to delve into those knowledges for us to live better on this planet effectively.
That's a really fantastic perspective. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sean.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Just before we leave, I wanted to let you know that our Science Speaker Series at Nelson Provincial Museum continues with a fantastic family-focused session on Saturday the 10th of July at 1 p.m. It's a children's book reading for a beautiful book called Manaaki and Te Marama, written by Cawthron scientist Nick King and his partner Kim Filshi. The book is about the phases of the moon, so we've timed the reading to coincide with Matariki. It's probably targeted at school-age kids, but children of all ages are welcome to come along, and adults too. Nick or Kim will read the book, and one of our researchers will talk fully about Mātauranga and Maramataka and its significance to Cawthron's research and in Te Ao Māori. So please check out our Facebook page or the museum website for more information. Thanks very much for joining us. Mā te wā.
This podcast was first broadcast on Fresh FM, the top of the South Community Access radio station. For more information on Fresh FM, as well as links to other great local podcasts, go on our website freshfm.net or download the accessmedia.nz app.